Well, good morning. So glad to have you back with us for the Word for Life. This is an awesome day. In fact, many times I'll start my day by just quoting the verse, "This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Key word, will. We will rejoice. In other words, I make a decision to rejoice because this is God's day. Now, I'm not talking about Sunday being the Lord's day. I'm talking about every day that God gives us. Of course, some days are harder to say, "This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it," because there are some tremendous tests and temptations that come our way. This morning, we'd like to talk about dealing with those times. I've called it dealing with depression. You know, in Matthew 21 and 22, we see that some of Satan's greatest tests and temptations set the stage for some of Jesus' greatest teachings to us. You know, and so it is with us. Our times of greatest trials can become our time of greatest lessons to others, because they're watching and they're listening. Somebody put it this way: God is trusting in us to be trusting in Him. That's pretty good. God is trusting in us to be trusting in Him. For He knows that there's never a testimony unless there's been a test. And so sometimes the Lord puts you through a test. Or we could say God wants us to be an object lesson. Now, when I use that term, I'm well reminded of my wife telling me one time when we were going through a very, very difficult time in the ministry that I just didn't know how much longer I could hold on. I just felt like, Lord, Job's testings went for 7 months, but this has been so much longer than that. This is horrible. And Ruth said to me, "Well, honey, maybe God wants us to be an object lesson." And I just looked at her and I said, "I don't want to be an object lesson." And she started laughing. And then, of course, I started laughing. Well, none of us want to be an object lesson, but that's not necessarily our choice. Because if God has chosen that certain things, certain tests in our life are designed to make us an object lesson, then whether or not we want to be an object lesson or not is not the issue. He's going to make us an object lesson. Now, how we respond is up to us. But of course, Romans 8:28 says, "All things work together for good to them who love the Lord." And so the first question we have to ask is, okay, what are you wanting to teach me? What do you want me to teach me about yourself, Lord? That you're sovereign, that you're omnipotent, that you're omniscient, you know everything, you're all powerful, you're in control. What is it, Lord, you want me to learn about yourself? Or secondly, what do you want me to learn about others? Well, now, that's a good question. When I'm going through a test and I'm becoming an object lesson, what is it that God is wanting you to learn about yourself? One of the most important lessons I learned several years ago is found in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. It says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood," that's people, "but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places," that's Satan. You see, people are never the enemy. Satan is always the enemy. And so when I learn that about others, it gives me a totally different perspective about them. So what do you want me to learn about myself? What do you want me to learn about others? What do you want me to learn about the Lord? That first part there, what do you want me to learn about myself? See, Romans 8:28 says, "All things work together for good when I'm loving God." So the question is, am I loving God as the verse instructs? See, it's impossible to please God without faith. That's Hebrews 11:6. So I guess the question is my faith in need of a faith lift? Not a face lift, but a faith lift. And yes, the answer always is yes. See, I must believe that He is. That's Hebrews 11:6 again. Well, that He is what? Well, He is all that I need for whatever I'm facing. He is whatever you need. Hebrews 11:6. And it says that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Key word, diligently. So when you're going through times of testing and trials, spend much time in prayer, much time in the Word, opening your heart, opening your mind to possibilities of what God may be trying to teach you. You ever wonder why the Lord initiated the conversation with Satan about Job? See, the Bible tells us that Job was living a life of worry, which led to a life of fear. In Job chapter 1 and verse 5, he brought all of his kids together and offered sacrifices for them because he was afraid that maybe they had cursed God in their hearts. And then when things really fell apart, we read in chapter 3 and verse 23, "What is light given to a man whose way is hid, and whom God hath hedged in? For my sighing comes before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. For the thing which I greatly feared," there it is come upon me. "And that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither I had rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came." Verse 6 says, "Is not this thy fear?" See, God initiated the conversation because he wanted Job to stop living a life of fear. And so many times, that's what you and I are facing, fear and worry. Well, God wanted to change a life of 60 years of fear for Job because he had another 140 years to live. And so he wanted it to be 140 years of faith. So the question is, what is God trying to teach me? So when you're facing trials and temptations, you have to realize that all of us face times of discouragement. That means discouragement. In other words, I'm losing courage to face what I'm facing. And of course, the first step toward depression is discouragement. Regardless of what you're involved in, you can become weary in well-doing. In fact, in Galatians 6:9, you remember the verse that says, "Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap if you faint not." That word weary means to be beaten out of a position. Isn't that interesting? To be beaten out of a position. See, that's what Satan is trying to accomplish in your life. Whatever position you have in the race, he wants to beat you out of it. He wants to get you on the sidelines. He wants you to trip up and get discouraged. 1 Peter 5, verses 1 to 4, describes the judgment seat experience. And the Bible says that as we minister for the Lord, we want him to be able to say, "Well done." But does it say anything about how those to whom we minister must respond for us to be considered doing well? The amazing thing is it doesn't. So even as pastors, and I'm speaking as a pastor, the Bible says that when I get to heaven, how I ministered will be the foundation of the well done or the no well done. It's not how people responded to my ministry. You know, you may be witnessing or praying for somebody and doing everything you possibly can to either bring them to Christ or bring them back to Christ from their backslidden condition. However they respond is up to them. It's not up to you. And I love the verse in Hebrews 6:10 that instructs us that God is not going to forget our work and labor of love, even if everybody else does, because we have an audience of one. That's our God. And so consequently, discouragement, oh, that is a tool that Satan loves to use. And sometimes it comes easier because we have been guilty of improper care of our own health. And that affects our labor of love and leaves us susceptible to depression. And so, how is your health? How are your eating habits? Is food a comfort habit? Do you eat to live or live to eat? Good question. How is your health? Well, how about your Bible study? Is it for personal growth or is it just to teach a Bible lesson or a Sunday school class or something like that? See, during times of reading the Word, God wants to speak to us. He can use us later to speak to others, but he wants personal growth in our lives. And when we read the word, do we see areas of immaturity, maybe impatience, unforgiveness, judgmental attitudes toward others, maybe anger and frustration? Sometimes we label that righteous indignation, but it's just anger and frustration. So why do you study the Bible? And when you teach, is it out of the overflow of what the Lord has been teaching you? Well, here's a good question. Do you have a teachable spirit? You say, well, yes, I love to read the Word and have the Lord teach me. How about from your wives or your husbands? How about from your children? Other church members? See, is it a team spirit or is it my way or the highway? Do you have a teachable spirit? If you are resisting a teachable spirit, you can expect discouragement because others are on the team as well. And they're not always going to accept your insight and your wisdom and your advice. Now, the first step away from discouragement is discernment. That's point number two. The first step away from discouragement is discernment, to be able to discern the leading hand of God. Are you going through a test? Well, remember, the instructor is always silent during a test. Now, it's after the test that he teaches us his lessons. But when you're studying the scriptures, it will inform you of God's method of discernment. The Bible tells us, first of all, that the way to the palace is by way of the cave. You remember David? He'd been anointed to be the next king of Israel. But when the Lord starts making a man, he has to break a man first. So consequently, it was necessary for the future king to live in a cave. Remember that? Running for his life. King Saul out to kill him. The same thing is true for you and me. The way to the palace, the way to advancement, the way to promotion is by way of the cave. The Bible tells us that if we don't understand that, then we will become frustrated and bitter and resist the times of testing that he puts us through. Let me read Psalm 57 to you. This is written by David at that very time. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High and unto God that performeth all things for me. I love that. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. That means pause and think about that. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted. That's the way of the cave. Let God teach you. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you in an awesome way.